May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Somebody gave me this a few years ago, and I don't get to use it very often. It's all right, so I'm going to have a go at using it. Okay. So, is that lovely? Is that lovely? Shall I do it again? It's partly because Liverpool have won the title and it's their last day and all of that. Isn't that lovely? But it's also because it's a little introduction, isn't it? A little introduction because today we're thinking about some words of Jesus. And we're at a really important part in the church's year. We're still in the time of Easter, and Easter is wonderful because it reminds us of the glories of Jesus' resurrection. But the lovely thing about Easter is it lasts 50 days. Easter lasts 50 days. And how long does Lent last? 40 days. So, you know, the year is already balanced towards celebration. It's saying, look, it's really important to get ready for Easter and all that discipline and abstinence that we have in Lent. But actually, when it comes to celebration is there. It's even more all that God has done for us in Jesus. And Easter comes to an end at the festival of what? What's the festival that brings Easter to an end and opens a new part of the church's year? Begins with a P. Pentecost. And you can hear the 50 there, can't you? 50 days from Easter. And as Easter comes towards an end, the readings that we're given start to point us forward, point us towards this amazing gift that is coming, the one that Jesus is promising. And we hear that one is coming who's going to be an advocate, is going to be on our side, is going to be a comforter, is going to be a teacher, is going to lead us into all truth. Someone is coming that will be Jesus to us, to all of us, even the ones who haven't been with him in the flesh. And Pentecost is this moment in the church's year when all the promises of God that are given in the Hebrew scriptures, what Christians call the Old Testament, are opened up. The covenant is opened up to all flesh. Everyone, Gentiles like us, can come in, and the promises of God are true for us as well. Sin is dealt with, death is conquered, and the way to life is open. These are amazing promises. And in the midst of this, Jesus gives a beautiful little word. The world of the disciples is about to be turned upside down. Their expectations, their traditions, their stories, they're all going to be turned upside down. And he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And you know, these words are not just important there and then for the disciples in all the turmoil that they're facing. They're important for us, aren't they? They resonate, they echo down the centuries to us. Because we live, don't we, in a remarkably anxious time. We live in quite a worried and worrying environment. It's the fact that we can see what is going on in Gaza. We can see what's going on in Ukraine. We get glimpses of what's going on in Yemen and Sudan and Congo and so many other places. We can see, if you like, the splintering of what used to be fairly traditional sets of ways of thinking. If you thought one way, you voted for this party. If you thought this way, you voted for this party. It doesn't work like that anymore, does it? People who think like this, vote for them. People who think like that, vote for them. And suddenly, there are 4, 5, 6 different parties. And people don't quite know what each one stands for, but they know that somehow it's not working. It's letting us down. We know about the anxiety within our own city. I've mentioned it already. There's the sense that the city isn't working. It's not just the rubbish and the potholes, but, you know, the thing about, you know, our health service overstrained and overworked and it really difficult to access. We think about, you know, schools and the issues they face, particularly with, you know, the very fabric of the buildings. And then when we sort of think about ourselves, we're really conscious, aren't we, that life can very quickly feel very anxious. How are people going to treat me? How am I going to be sort of accepted? Will the people who are on the other side of the road, will they be kind to me or not? When I used to walk down the road to take our girls to St. John's, on the way down, the Stratford Road felt lovely because it was full of little children. On the way back, it felt quite frightening because it was full of big children who were getting off the bus to go to Moseley School. And I remember thinking, at what point do little children, who were actually quite sweet, become big children and I'm frightened of them? We live, don't we, in a time which can be really anxious. And you don't need me to rehearse again the statistics we've thought about mental ill health and the way in which people do not seem at ease with themselves. So this little promise, peace I leave with you, this little promise can have a really big effect. Little promise, big effect. And I want to think just for a few minutes about what it might mean for Jesus to say, peace, peace I leave with you. Now, I know we haven't got very many children this morning, and that's perfectly okay. But I wonder whether they might just sort of see if they can find one or two things around the church for me. Would that be possible? Is it possible to find a wooden cross? Could somebody find a wooden cross? You don't have to. It's not compulsory, although it'd make the talk go better. There's a wooden cross. Yes, there's that one. This one's a little more portable. There's a wooden cross somewhere in the church. It's about sort of 60 centimetres high, something like that. Hey, Reagan and Nova have found it. Will you bring it down to the front? Very good, well done, well done. That isn't necessarily the way I'd have come down to the front, but that's all right, isn't that lovely? Here we go. Look at that, isn't that just very elegant? Marvellous. Reagan, that's so good of you. Would you put that on the table for me? Lovely. Pop that on there. Brilliant. A little round of applause for Reagan. Hey, thank you very much, thank you very much. Okay. The first part of peace is, of course, peace with God. All that Jesus has done for us, his life, the way in which he touches and heals and ministers to people, the way he cares for those who are on the margins, on the edges, the way he brings them in, the way he makes them an example of faith. All this reaches its climax here in the cross. And you remember that as Jesus dies on the cross, and that's all happening outside the city of Jerusalem, the Gospels take us back into the city, back into the temple, to the Holy of Holies, and the curtain of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. That thing, that physical divider between people and the holiness of God, is removed. Jesus is our peace with God. We are forgiven. We have peace with him because of all that Jesus has done for us on the cross. Okay, I wonder if the two of you, would you be able to find something else for me? Could you find two gloves? Could you find two gloves? Somewhere in church, there are two gloves. Would you be able to find them for me? That's brilliant. Okay. They're not on that side. I'll give you a clue. Lovely. Brilliant. Have you found them? Do you want to bring one each? Lovely. That's it. Brilliant. That's right. Bring them up. Okay. Lovely. That's right. Come to the front. Nice one. That's it. Lovely. Okay. Now then, can I put them on you? Yes or no? Yes? Can you put your foot, that hand? Nope. Okay. that's slightly cleaner than that one. Here we go. Put that one on. Okay, there we go. Right, how's that? Okay. All right. Now I'm going to put this one on. Can you shake hands? Well done. Brilliant. Let's give Reagan another round of applause. Thank you very much. Okay. Now you might notice that those were not from the same pair. Okay, they're different gloves. So that right hand can go to right hand, you see. One of the profound truths of the Christian faith is that when people find their peace in God, they begin to find their peace with one another. When we have communion, we have that moment, don't we, when we say Christ is our peace. And we greet one another, we shake hands, or we just say, peace be with you. There is this opportunity in Jesus to find a new community, a new way of being with one another that enables us to find peace. It's not easy. Sometimes it's really difficult, but actually Jesus tells us, doesn't he? And last week when Philippa preached for us, she preached from that really, really simple message of Jesus. Love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When someone is your brother or sister in Christ, there is this opportunity to have peace with them. Okay, two more things to find. Can somebody find me a gardening implement? Okay, can somebody find me a gardening implement? Okay, anyone have a go for that? No, you see, sometimes I hide them really badly and really obvious, and sometimes I hide them too well, don't I? And you can't find them. Gold. Gold. Get warmer loose. Warmer. Warmer. Much warmer. Very hot. Yes! Excellent. Here we go. Can you bring that down to the front for me? Here we go. Right. Okay, can you stand there? Can you hold it up so everyone can see? What's that?
It's a shovel.
Can you say it again?
It's a shovel.
It is, sort of. It's a mini shovel. Okay, another round of applause, please. Thank you very much. I think traditionally that's called a trowel, but shovel will work. Shovel will work. See, look, it has actually got some earth on it. Aha!
When Jesus says he's going to bring us peace, perhaps one of the things he's going to do is bring us peace with our creation. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sin and they fall and they're being sent out, one of the effects of sin is that it actually affects the earth. It actually affects creation itself. That everything becomes difficult and hard. Finding peace with God is partly about finding our peace with his creation. And one of the great sources of worry and anxiety in the world today, isn't it, is what we are doing to his creation. To find peace and to say, Lord, how do I live well so that I do not harm your good creation? Let me find peace with it. Enable me to live well with your creation. Okay, last thing to find. Reagan and Novi are doing really well. Could you find me a smile? Okay? Could you find me a smile? Okay. Excellent, excellent. Right, look out, everybody. We'll do it together. We'll do it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hey! Well done. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Peace with creation. Peace with ourselves. Isn't that an incredible gift? An incredible gift. We live in a time, don't we, when we are constantly bombarded with messages that tell us we are not what we should be. We have not got what we need. We are not who we could have been. And we are bombarded with these messages, and we don't look like this person, and we don't have what that person's got, and we haven't achieved what that person has. And if you listen to those voices, it is really, really easy to feel that you are a failure. Do you know what? Those are not the voices of God. When he sees you, he sees a child who he has created, whom Jesus has loved, who the Spirit indwells, who has the opportunity to reflect his glory. He is pleased with you. To find peace with ourselves. We know we are not perfect. We know he is at work to bring us to the people he wants us to be. We know that. But it doesn't follow that we should therefore feel awful about ourselves. Quite the reverse. We are his creation. We are his children. Honestly, I think most of the time, what does God want from you? He wants you to turn to him and smile. The rest is detail. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace with creation, peace with ourselves. Okay, the Bible has a special word for this peace. Now, could you just have a look under your seat and see if you've got a piece of paper with a letter on it? Anyone got a piece of paper with a letter on it? You have. If you've got a piece of paper with a letter on it, do you feel able to bring it out to the front? Is that possible? Is that all right? You don't have to. You can pass it to somebody else if that feels better. And we'll just stand up here. All right, that's all right. Great, now you hold it. Okay, right, here we go. Can we just come up on the step? Lovely. Is there enough room for us all? I think there will be. Here we go. Right, can you come up, Francis? Is that all right?
Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, now then. Okay, can you turn around and face everybody? Is that okay? Right. Okay. How are we doing? How are we doing? Right. So we've got an L and an S and an A and an H and an O and an M. Right. What might this word be? It's a word from the Hebrew scriptures. It's a word from the what we call the Old Testament. And it's a word which means peace. Go on, shout it out. Shalom, shalom. Here we go. Right. And we've got S, L, H. What do we need after the S? We need an H, don't we? Okay, we can go there. Over. Brilliant. S, H. Okay, what we need? A, L, O, M. Brilliant. Well done. Round of applause, please. Shalom. The shalom of God. Not just the absence of noise, okay? Something much deeper and richer and better. Peace with Him. Peace with one another. Peace with creation. Peace with ourselves. So when Jesus says, "My peace I give you," He's saying, look, I want you to enjoy the shalom of God. This beautiful, beautiful word which extends over the whole of our lives. Praise God that that is one of the gifts that He gives us. Wonderful. Another round of applause, please. Can I keep them or should I take them in? Up to you. It's a free country. Keep them. You keep them.
That's fine. That's fine. Lovely. Right. Here we go. Put that back down there. Thank you very much. Thank you. Lovely. In a few minutes, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for one another and for God's peace. But before we do, we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing a couple of hymns, and I'm delighted.